It's truly good to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth on this morning.
Amen.
Brother Butch, say nothing. Gotta love that, brother. If you want something repeated, all you have to do is say it. And that's what Sister Spencer is doing. She's in Texas taking care of business.
Amen.
And right now, she's in worship service.
Amen.
It is good to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth, doing what we are commanded to do. As you see on the board, the title of the lesson is Peer Pressure. From the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This is Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which yields your reasonable service. Paul is not talking to the world. Paul is talking to Christian folk.
Amen.
He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we hear about peer pressure, we have a tendency to always, and you will probably see that in this lesson, think about the young folk. But it's not just the young that are pressured to do things.
Amen.
It's the old as well. When we try to conform to this world, do the things that they're doing, we're influenced by them. And we need to check ourselves to make sure that what we see going on is in accordance with God's will before we tend to do it.
Amen.
Brother's going to University of Kentucky next semester or next, whenever he go back to school. Now, he could have listened to a whole lot of people here and just went ahead and graduated and went on about his merry way.
Amen.
But he's furthering his education.
Amen.
He's not pressured by the Cardinal fans. He's going to be a wildcat. Go with your heart, brother.
Amen.
You do what you know to be right. But I know you still believe red. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Peer is defined as a person who has equal standing with another, as in rank, class, or age. I can be influenced by a younger person, or I can be influenced by an older person. That's where we're going to class people together. In rank, well, that varies about a whole lot of different areas there. In the military, we went by ranks, and there was a whole lot of different ages in there. And if you had the same rank as someone else, they can influence you to do something or not do something. Or a class of people. The upper class, the lower class, or the middle class. A lot of times when we start talking about class of people, we don't want to associate with anyone not in our class. Because again, we are influenced by those that are of the same agreement that we are, in the same status that we are, or age. We don't have very many teenagers in the audience, but that's okay too. We'll pick on the older people. Age. Age is something that we're all going to reach, whether young or whether old. Keep on living, you're going to get some age on you. Babies are influenced by other babies. Children are influenced by other children. Teenagers are influenced by other teenagers. And grown-ups are influenced by other grown-ups. Those are your peers. The pressure to force, as by overpowering influence or persuasion. We put the two together, and it carries the ideal of a person persuading another and doing something by force or action. I want you to understand, this could either be good or this can be bad. You have to make up in your minds whether or not it's good or bad or not. Read there, the problems teenagers face today are not new. Oh, here he goes doing something new again. No, it's not new. Over 2,500 years ago, Socrates wrote, "Our youth now love luxury." Is that not still true today? But this not new now. Solomon said, "There's no new thing under the sun." Young people have always loved luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for the elders and love chatter in place of exercise. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up their food, and tyrannize their teachers. When we were little, when it was time to eat, we had to go out back. We ate last. It's nothing new for children to still have to wait until their parents fix their plate. And a lot of times the parents, you know, they'll fix the children's plate first, but it's okay to let the children wait a little while longer before they eat. When the children start talking back to their parents and we say, "This is some new thing," it's nothing new. Children have always talked back to their parents. And when parents do not discipline their children the way they're supposed to, they will continue to talk back to them. Our children, they go to different schools, they get to different ages, and they pick up habits from other children, and they will tell them, "I wouldn't let my mama talk to me like that," or "I wouldn't let my daddy tell me what to do." Well, all I can say is, let that child come to my house. My two boys are grown. I raised them in a godly manner. They're grown. They do what they want to now. They act the way they want to act. But they still understand what respect is. They still understand that when a grown-up is talking, they need to listen. So we need to teach our children these things and not allow their peers to influence them to bad-mouth the mom or the dad or the grandparents or whoever, whatever elders about over them. Teach them how to behave at school. 2,500 years ago, they didn't know how to behave. But they still need to be taught. Still need to be taught. Peer pressure. It's a sad thing, but it's something that we need to deal with. Peer pressure is to blame for a lot of things going on in our society today. A lot of times we need to take responsibility for the actions of ourselves and the action for our children to understand that just because we send them away from home doesn't mean that they forget their home training. But then, peer pressure. It's those kids that they're hanging around. It's that little boy that she's been seeing. It's that little girl that he's been seeing. Peer pressure is to blame for a lot of things that go on in our society today. Games. Every young man, every young woman, they want to fit in somewhere. And if the gangs offer them something that they're not offered anywhere else, they want to be a part of it. Nobody is going to beat me up to become part of their group. Isn't that sad? that when you have to get jumped into something and you want to be a part of that? Peer pressure. I want to fit in. Dropping out of school. Oh, my friend said it's okay. He don't go to school and look what he's doing. What is he doing? He's out on the corner selling drugs. Is that what you want to do? Peer pressure. Smoking. It's the cool thing to do. I know nobody talk like that anymore. But it's the end thing. Everybody's doing it, mama. No, you're not doing it. What about drinking? My friend said it's okay to drink. You're not going to hurt anybody. Think about the many accidents you hear of young teenagers. Too young to buy the alcohol, so they had to get it from somewhere. Probably got it from the parents' house. But how many of them have accidents? Run into someone else. Kill, you know, the person that they hit, but yet they're still living. It's something that they're going to have to live with the rest of their life. But they find that there was two or three other individuals in the car with them. Oh, she normally didn't drink, or he normally didn't drink. It was those friends that they were hanging around. They influenced them to do this thing. Drinking is bad for you. Talking back to parents to get you hurt. See, children need to understand this. But when they listen to their friends, they have to get hurt sometimes. Stealing. I know it's not yours, but go ahead and take it. Young man came and knocked on my mom and dad's door looking for my nephew. And he said, he has my tennis shoes. Nephew wasn't there. My daddy. He said, oh, I know where they are. Went back there and got the shoes and brought them to the young man. He didn't even know my nephew. The other young man didn't. But he took something that wasn't his, and now he had to repay it. It's peer pressure. Peer pressure. Sex. I want to put this category in with everybody. There are some older people that are pressured to have sex. There are some younger people pressured to have sex. And if you are not married, sex is not yours to have. Do not allow someone to pressure you to do something that you know that is against God's will. And this is where we're going to spend most of our time, talking about sex. This is not a sex education class. This is preaching. Amen. This is Bible. We don't send our children to school to learn about sex. We teach them in the home. We teach them in the church. We teach them from God's Word. Amen. First of all, let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 through 19. The first chapter of Proverbs contains Solomon's wise counsel for the son. Solomon instructed the young man on how to overcome peer pressure. And we need this even today. We need some instruction to teach us how to overcome peer pressure. When we know something is wrong, when we know something is not in God's will, we should be willing to reject it. Proverbs chapter 1, the verses 11. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 11. Well, don't you read that for us, if you would.
If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us work privately for the innocent without cause.
See, this is that game. Trying to influence a young man to join into their little gang. Let us lay wait. We want to hurt somebody today, some innocent person. I can just imagine Brother Butch out doing something and a group of young men come and try to jump him. What size shoe you wear, brother?
10.
10? I can see him hauling down the road right now. Running away from trouble. Because you know, sometimes it's better to run, to live to see another day, to stay and fight, and have someone presiding over you at a funeral home somewhere. But Solomon instructed the young man, stay away from these type of people. Don't get tangled up with this type of people. Because these things are wrong. He says in verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. You know that they hang out on that corner. Stay from that corner. Stay away from there.
Yeah.
You got to get home. Go a different route. But they're going to think I'm a coward. Be a coward. But be a coward that can live to tell that you're glad that you wasn't there when the cops picked them up for them doing something wrong. It is sad to be in a situation where you have no friends, but they're my friends. No, they're not your friends. However, it is worse to have the wrong kind of friends than no friend at all. So we teach our young people, we teach older people, they are really not your friends when they try to convince you to do something wrong. A lot of times they push you to get you to do something while they're standing back watching. You should do gang intervention and the black Crips and the Mexican Crips. The Mexican Crips will stand back because they were using their head and they'll try to push the black Crips out there to fight with the Bloods. And you know what the black Crips would do? They'll go and fight with the Bloods and the Mexican Crips just standing back laughing. Peer pressure. Wanting to be noticed, wanting to be somebody when you're really nobody. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25. Chapter 22, verse 24 and 25. Brother Brian, read that for us.
Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul.
So we need to leave some people alone, don't we? No friendship with an angry man. You know, if you make friendship with an angry man, when that man is not angry anymore, he may forget that you're really his friend. And then he get angry with you for no ungodly reason. He said, lest ye learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. He didn't set the snare for your soul. You set the snare for your soul. So quit blaming your faults, your downfalls on someone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. But Theotis, read that for us.
Be not deceived, even communication corrupt good manners.
Evil. Bad company. Ruins good manners. Watch the company that you keep. Whether you're old or whether you're young, watch the company that you keep. Well, who am I to hang around? Hang around some good people. Yeah. Hang around some people that will do you some good in your life and quit hanging around with those that are trying to influence you to do things that are wrong. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's talk about this sex thing that so many people are so intrigued with, but yet they don't want to do what God tells them to do, reference to it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to abstain from all appearances of evil. When we start talking about fornication, we need to understand what it says on the board. It includes, but not limited to, premarital sex, homosexuality, and all sexual intercourse apart from marriage. It has no age. A little lady, she's 80. I'm just going to be safe and say she's 85 years old. She says she used to teach the third grade. And you know what those little boys and little girls were doing? They were having sex. Well, she told us. And if I go and talk to her tomorrow, which I won't talk to her tomorrow because she's in Texas, she'll sit down and she'll tell me that same story again. Peer pressure. So you say, well, third graders, that's too young. No, brothers and sisters, that's not too young. It's not too young for them to know what they're doing or what they think they're doing. We know it's too young for them to be doing it pleasing to God. We know that.
Amen.
We need to teach our children that when someone approaches them with something that they're not used to, that they need to bring it to somebody's attention so it can be addressed. Amen. Abstain from all appearances of evil. That is so important that we realize that and that we continue to teach it, we continue to stress it. When a man looks upon a woman with lust in his heart, he has done what? He has sinned, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Well, I didn't touch her. You remember I was saying the other Sunday about that 8-second rule, how some will look and then they'll turn away? There's a whole lot of things can go through your mind within 8 seconds. But we need to keep our mind focused on what God wants us to do. We need to be the people that God wants us to be. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Brother Thanopoulos, read that for us.
But I say to you that whomever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Already committed adultery. How does this take place? What makes a man look at a woman and want her for himself? Sometimes it's the way the woman dresses.
Amen.
Well, he had no business looking at me. No, you had no business worrying what you were worrying.
Amen.
I was in Korea and we was having a worship service. We were getting ready to have a worship service. This young lady came and sat up on the front row there. We had some chairs lined out and she had on this little short dress. And I said, excuse me, but you're going to have to move. I'm not going to stand up and try to preach God's word looking at you. Yes, I could have looked anywhere else. But guess what? God made me the way He made me.
Amen.
So we have to dismiss not the thought, but we have to dismiss the person.
Amen.
So that we will not have that thought.
Amen.
See, we don't go and hang out at strip clubs because we know what goes on there.
Right.
We don't go and hang out at the juke joints because we know what goes on there. Some of y'all probably do. If you do, see, I'm speaking for self sometime, but now I got to speak to you that do. You shouldn't be at those places.
Amen.
Because of the sin that you commit in your heart, the lust that you commit in your heart, by looking at those individuals there, whether it's a man or whether it's a woman, but dressed in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. He told there not to partake of another man's sins. See, a woman, you know, she's sinning when she wears, you know, skimpy clothes. Or a man sinning when he wears skimpy clothes. And when you look upon them, you're partaking of their sin. Where you need to tell them. See, the Bible teaches that the older women teach the younger women. And the older men teach the younger men. And when the older women don't want to teach the younger women, then the men need to start teaching the older women and the younger women all at the same time.
Amen.
Older women, let me say this. Quit letting the young women influence your dress. You don't need to dress like them. You need to dress in a fashion that God is pleased with. Older men, you don't need to dress like the young men. See, some young men don't know how to dress, period. They put their pants half on. We don't need to let them influence us on how to dress. And when they come around us dressed indecent, we need to correct them.
Amen.
The attitude teenagers have toward their parents is often influenced by their friends. See, we need not expect our teenagers to watch MTV, BET, or play on the computer all day long and then honor his father and his mother. Someone said it the other day. In class, bad input causes bad output.
Amen.
Well, Daddy, that's what they call them on BET. Why come I can't call women that name? What we watch on TV influence us.
Amen.
it pressures us to act a certain way. Yeah, we can desensitize our minds to not hear some things. But what about our eyes? Can we just say, I didn't see that? A lot of times it's more like, I know I didn't see what I thought I saw. And when our children come forth to us and they do things that are displeasing, they need to consider these three verses. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, my mom is 72, and my dad is 73, somewhere in that neighborhood. They're still my parents. I still need to respect them. I still need to address them as mama and daddy. They're not my friends. They're my parents. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. I don't care what comes on television. Oh, I'm going out to hang out with my girl today. Mama talking about her daughter. Just the other morning, we were watching television talking about peer pressure. Here, a mom and daddy, a mom and daughter, both of them are porn stars. What kind of influence is that? What kind of respect is that for one another? Look what the Bible says. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Bill Cosby said the best, I brought you in this world, I can take you out of this world. When a child disobeys his parent, the parent needs to put something on that child. I know some of you don't like that. And I don't like time out. I like to do or give what I received. I tell my boys, I used to tell them, I'm going to give you more than I got. I want to give you more than I received. And I wasn't talking about material things. I was talking about whippings. Wasn't talking about a spanking. I was talking about old-fashioned whooping. I didn't beat them up with my fist. I wouldn't lay my hands on them. But I sure put a belt on them. We have to understand that we need to teach our children that TV is not where they learn how to treat people. The attitude that teenagers have toward their parents is often influenced by the friends. I just said that, didn't I? I'm blaming on Brother Gwen. Peer pressure. Attitudes toward sex are often influenced by our peers. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Fornication, my brethren, is a sin. What is fornication? It is two unwedded people having sex together. It's a sin. But we are pressured, not talking about me, pressured to do these things. Brother Butch, read that for us.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft.
That's good, brother. You see there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, how he mentioned fornication and adultery. In some cases, this word is used interchangeably, but here he makes a distinction between the two. Fornication, two unwedded people having sex. Adultery, a married person having sex with someone that is not their partner. And I'm talking partner, I'm not talking about somebody of the same sex. Not that type of marriage. I'm talking about their spouse that God recognizes as being their spouse. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Brother Glenn, you have that? Read it for us.
Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
Flee. Run from. Don't stand there and say, oh, I can take this. I'm a Christian. She can't do anything to make me want her. Or he can't do anything to make me go against God's rules. Flee. Run. Don't think that you will not fall. Men, women fall every day because they think that they can't fall.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Theotis?
Yeah.
You know, I hate to pick on Brother Theotis. Brother Theotis, you the first one to get there. He always let me know he's there. Hadn't heard that today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Take your time, brother. We're not in no hurry. We're going to finish this lesson tonight.
13:4. Marriage is honorable at all, and the dead is undefiled. Before moms and adulterers, God will judge.
Well, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Well, what's going to cause us to lose our soul? When we allow someone to pressure us into having sex. Young ladies today, they're making pacts with each other, trying to see which one can get pregnant first. Young men are saying, you know, I got a child, got this woman pregnant, I'm going to be a daddy. My nephew called up my son. He called us up. We talked to him on the phone. He said, let me talk to Tim. I need to tell him something. He told my son, he said, I'm going to be a daddy. And my son said, cool. We said, not so cool. He's not married. Yeah. Now this girl is going to have a responsibility. He's going to have a responsibility as well. When the child was born, he said the child wasn't his. Peer pressure. Man, don't claim that child. You know that child's not yours. The head was just like his head. Couldn't deny that child. See, we need to understand when we're pressured into doing something, we're going to have to give an account for that. Many lives have been messed up behind peer pressure. Unwedded sex. It causes diseases. It causes a person to get pregnant. Having the child is not the sin. The sin was in doing something to get the child. See, we need to understand that. Responsibility. If you avoid sexual immorality, you will not have to worry about a guilty conscience. Your conscience will not bother you when you do what is right. Understand that. Your parents finding out that you've been having sex behind their back. The many sexual transmitted diseases that are running rampant in our nation today. Pregnancy out of wedlock. See, these are some things that we need to consider when we start thinking about peer pressure. If you're here today and you have been pressured to do something that is not right in the eyes of God, we encourage you to quit doing those things. We encourage you to find your way. Allow God to lead you. Maybe you're a Christian and you're strayed away from the fold and you've ventured off into some areas where you shouldn't be. But done some things that you know good and well that God is pleased with. Not even thinking about man, but God is pleased with. You need to get it right. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your faults. You need to ask for prayers that you may be strengthened. You know, many cases, the reason we do not do what is right, or the reason we make mistakes or venture off into areas where we're not supposed to be, because we're not where we're supposed to be. We're not in God. We're not hanging around Christian folk. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, the opportunity is yours to come forth, make the good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, have your sins washed away in the water of great baptism, and then live a faithful life, understanding that all your past sins are washed away. Maybe you are one of those that were used to having sex all the time, and now you tell your friends, I can't do that anymore because I'm a child of God. I need to save myself until I get married. I say, well, you mean save yourself? Yes, save yourself. Abstain. Do what God wants you to do. Be who God wants you to be. Quit hanging out with those individuals that keep trying to persuade you to do something that is wrong. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, whether young or whether old, the opportunity is yours to come forth and do what God would be pleased with. Amen. If you're here, we ask you to please come and stand and sing the invitation hymn.